And I can say likewise, my life is better having met him and known him. And I want to say what a beautiful facility y'all have. But I'm glad that it's not just the facility. I'm glad there's a facilitator still here. Glad the Holy Ghost is here tonight. And I appreciate the invite and the opportunity to come. It's probably one of the highlights of my year to get to come over here. I mean that. And I appreciate it with all of my heart. Looking forward to what God's going to do. I told him, thank you for letting me preach after Brother John. I'd about rather land a spaceship than have to preach after John Dorsey. But the Lord knows how to keep a man humble. Somebody say amen. Turn to the book of Romans. Appreciate my wife coming with me tonight, Miss Christie, and a friend of mine, a preacher out of our church, Brother Josh Phillips. He's going to start a church in Colville, Washington next year. I want you to pray for him. And he's graduated the Bible college, and he's on his way out there to start churches, and looking forward to what God's going to do in his life. Romans chapter number 8, and we'll read a couple of verses, and we'll just do what the Lord wants tonight. I'm hoping my sugar will get up, if that's what happens when your sugar gets up. Bless God, somebody give me a Snicker bar and a Red Bull. Amen. Bless the Lord. I like it. Amen. I appreciate that singing and that testifying, and I like it. Amen. I was out there last week, and Brother Ken, they keep telling me you can't have church like this out there. They've went out there to start churches, and they'll say things like, well, these people are different. And these people don't respond the same way Southerners do. And I got news for you. We've been to Albania where Brother Aaron's going. And we've had Holy Ghost Church in Albania. And I was riding down the interstate the other day on my way to church listening to the McCameys. And a song came on and it said something about, I wonder if they're gathering by the river. Good Lord Almighty. I got to thinking about that, and I about wrecked the car. The boy that was with me, I scared him half to death. And I have debunked the myth. You can have church in Washington. You can have church in South Carolina. You can have church in Georgia. You can have church in Albania. If the Holy Ghost lives in a man's heart, you can have church about near where anywhere you want to. I'm glad He's faithful, and I'm glad He's true. I'm glad I'm at home tonight. Amen. Romans chapter number 8 and verse number 18. If you're there, say amen. For I reckon, well, amen, I'm glad the King James is Southern. I reckon, bless God, I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in us. That sounded like a promise to me. I want you to go over, if you will, verse number 31. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, by the way, that's not a question of doubt he's putting forth right there. If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? In other words, if he came down out of glory, climbed up on Calvary to keep me out of hell, there ain't nothing else he won't do for me. He's done the hard part. He's done the difficult part. There ain't nothing else he won't do for us. Now, I want to preach with the help of the Lord for a few minutes on verse 31. If God be for us, who can be against us? I'm convinced with my heart, preacher, that God sent me over here tonight. I ain't going to tell you nothing you don't know, but I want to remind you. God is for you. Lord, we love you tonight. Thank you for this good preacher and this good church. Lord, I need you to help me. I need you to touch me and anoint us tonight, Lord. Anoint our hearing, anoint our preaching. And Lord, we just want you to get glory. I mean that with all of my heart. I want God to be glorified. Lord, I thank you that you've called me to preach. I thank you that you saved me by your good grace, Lord. We love you tonight. And I pray you'd let me be a blessing to the flock of God tonight. In Jesus' good name we pray. And all God's people said, amen. Amen. You can be seated. What shall we then say to these things? What things is he talking about? There's a lot of things that have gone on up to this point. And he said, what shall we say to these things? Well, Romans chapter number 8, you know, he starts out and says, there is therefore now, when? Now, no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Now, I used to think that meant that I had to walk right all the time in order not to be condemned. But then I got to reading over there the rest of Romans, that Bible will preach itself. He said, but ye are not in the flesh. If so be that the Holy Ghost lives in you, that means I can't be in the flesh. I'm in the Spirit because the Spirit's in me. And I'm glad to know I'm saved by the grace of God, filled with the Spirit of God, walking in the Spirit of God. And there's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. So Romans chapter 8 is telling us there's no condemnation for us. But in order to understand these things, we got to understand Romans chapter 7. And to understand Romans chapter 7, we got to understand Romans chapter 6. To understand Romans chapter 6, we got to understand chapter number 5. Chapter number 5 uses the phrase much more 5 times. The number of grace. Where sin abounded, grace did much more abound. I don't know about you. I didn't come up in church. I didn't come up with nobody praying for me. I didn't come up with nobody teaching me what was right and wrong. But when I got saved by the grace of God, I can truly say where sin did abound, grace did much more abound. And I know what that means. That's exactly right. So Romans 5 tells us that where there's sin, grace is greater than sin. I say amen. And so then Romans chapter 6 comes along. Romans chapter number 6 says, what? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Said, yield not your members as servants to unrighteousness, but yield your members unto the Lord in righteousness. Mortify the deeds of the flesh. In other words, just because there's grace, don't mean we ought to go out and the Bible tells us we shouldn't frustrate the grace of God. And so just because there's grace, don't mean that we frustrate it and live in sin. Y'all know that. Somebody say amen. And then he gets over to chapter number 7. After he said there's much more grace than sin, and then he said we ought not continue in sin that grace should abound. In chapter number 7, he's saying stuff like, that I would, that do I not. And that I would not, that I do. He said, with my heart I'm serving God, with my spirit I love God, I want to glorify God, but I find another law working in my members. He said, I'd be right in the middle of giving God glory in my old fleshly nature that's dead and never will be regenerated until I get a new body. It'll start acting up and acting crazy on me. I know you can say amen to this. This old flesh ain't saved. It don't like what's going on tonight. It don't like what went on last night. Our flesh is wicked. It's deceitful. Who can know it? But I'm faithful. There's another nature on the inside of me that's pulling toward glory and wanting the will of God in my life. I'm glad the Holy Ghost will war in my members against that old nature. No, Paul ended up, hey, this wasn't no backslid Baptist church member writing this. This was the Apostle Paul. He said, oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from the body of this death? Oh, Lord, I've said that. Oh, wretched man that I am. The great Apostle Paul. Notice this warfare going on inside of him. The great Apostle Paul said there's grace for when you do sin. But you ought not sin just cause there's grace. And then after he said it, he said, oh, there's a warfare going on inside of me. Anybody tonight got a warfare going on inside of you? You want to serve God and you want to live for Him and you want to please the Lord. But there's a struggle, a warfare going on the inside. That's how I knew I was saved for the first week. Got saved on Halloween night, 1996. The next week we went deer hunting and I killed a deer. And my buddy, I was a 7 day a week drunk. I wasn't no casual drinker. I was a 7 day a week drunk. And my buddy brought a can of Natural Light out. We was cleaning them deer and he handed it to me and I pulled the tab up and the tab broke off the top. And somebody said, "We don't do that no more." And I looked to the right and I looked to the left. I said, "Who in the world said that?" The Holy Ghost moved in and started a warfare in my life. I say, amen. I'm glad he lives there. Well, glory. And Paul said, "Oh, wretched man that I am, who's going to deliver me from the body of this death?" And he said, "There's therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit." And then verse 18, he said, "These troubles of this time ain't even worthy to be..." And see, he's talking about that warfare. The trouble with the warfare don't compare to the glorious part that's going to glorify God in the end. Don't even compare. Then he gets over here at verse 31. What are we going to say about all that? What do you say when you ain't got nothing to say? What do you say when you ain't got all the theological answers lined up in your life? What do you say when Satan's attacking you and your flesh is beating you down, but you know you love God with all your heart and you can't figure out what God's doing and you don't know what God's working in your life? What do you say? He said, just say this: "If God be for me, who can be against me?" He said, that's what I want you to say. God is for you, and He proved it in several ways. And it's right here in Romans chapter number 8. I'm going to show you that God's for you, and I'm going to show you how He proved that He's for you. He didn't just say it. God's not just somebody who says something. When God says something, God does something. But He won't do nothing until He says something. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word. So I want to prove to you, for the next 5 minutes, that God is on your side. Number one, He proved it to me because of His plan for my life. Verse number 29. "For whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of His Son, that He might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom He did predestinate, them He also called. And whom He called, them He also justified. And whom He justified, them He also glorified. What shall we say to these things? If God be for us, whom be against us?" He proved to me that He was for me by making a plan for my life. God laid my life out for me before I ever knew Him. By the way, before there ever was a world, God knew what I was going to be. Before He ever spoke this creation into existence and stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into the world, He knew who I was and He had a plan mapped out for my life. I say glory to God. He proved He loved me and He proved He was for me because He made a plan for my life. Said, "Whom He did foreknow, He did also predestinate." Don't get nervous. I ain't preaching Calvinism. Amen. It's in the Bible. He says, it's a Bible word. He said, "Whom He did foreknow." You got to understand, God is back here in eternity. And there's nothing hidden from God in time. Well, glory to God. Today is yesterday and 1,000 years from now was a while ago as far as God's concerned. And God's in eternity. And He saw me getting saved down there in time. And when He saw, I know this is really simplifying this doctrine, but it's the only way a country boy can figure it out. God's back here in eternity and He's seen me in His foreknowledge getting saved. And He said, "I want you." And so He started mapping out my life, making a plan for me. And the Bible said, "Whom He did foreknow, He also did predestinate. And those He predestinated, them He also called." I remember it, oh glory, I remember in my life when the Holy Ghost came calling on me and knocking on the door of my heart. I'm telling you what a good day that was in my life. "And them He also, and them He called, them He also justified." He said, "Come here, I want you, son, come here." And I got under conviction and I came to Jesus and got saved. When I got saved, then He justified me. But here's what I'm trying to say. He did all this before he did it. It's a plan. It was already laid out before I ever got involved. I was already in heaven before I was already there before I ever got here. Them he called, he also justified. He declared me righteous. Now I got to say this before I move on. When he declared me righteous, God doesn't have but one kind of righteousness. It's not a man's righteousness and a woman's righteousness and a child's righteousness. There's only one type of righteousness. And it's the very righteousness of God. And when he declared me righteous, justified me, here's basically what he said. This sounds bad, but it's Bible. I and you, how many of you saved and you know it? You ain't got no doubt about it. Me and you are as right with God as God is with himself. I'll say that again. That sounded real good. I'm as right with God as God is with himself. Because there's only one kind of righteousness he can hand out. And it's the righteousness of Christ, the blessed Son of God, in whom he did justify, them he also glorified. It's already done. We're already seated in heavenly places from the time it started till the time it ended. God's all got it figured out. We're going to be all right. We're going to make it. God's got a plan and it ends up in glory. You and I is going to make it tonight. We're going to make it. He proved that he's on my side because he had a plan for me. My mama grew up, now don't hold this against me, I was born in Sumter, South Carolina, bless God. She was born in Wilmington, Delaware. And the divine providence of God brought her south before she had me. Amen. She grew up in a, I can't even tell you how wicked and abusive environment she grew up in. She was 12 years old living in a foster home because her daddy was working all the time and her mother was a drunk that couldn't take care of her. And her mother got back custody of her when she was 15 or 16 years old. She used to have to babysit her brothers while her mama would go out and drink and party. And I just found this out not long ago. She was treated in ways by people that if they're still alive. Yeah, if they're still alive, I'd like to see them. But was treated in ways you can't even talk about. Her mama came home one night in a drunken fit and grabbed an extension cord and beat her within an inch of her life with the end of an electrical cord. Got up the next morning, looked at her and said, "What happened to you? You look like you fell out of a tree or something. What's your problem?" Didn't even remember doing it. And my mama said, "I knew right then if I didn't leave that week that I'd die, I'd never live." She had a friend that worked in a circus. She was dating a guy that worked in the circus and it was coming from town and it left town and it was on its way to have a circus in Sumter, South Carolina. My mama boarded that circus train at 16 years old and came down to Sumter. Well, my daddy was in the Air Force and he was stationed at Shaw Air Force Base in Sumter, South Carolina. She got her little job out there right outside of the Air Force Base waiting tables. 17-year-old girl, she met my dad. They got married. At 19 years old, she had me. They ended up getting divorced when I was a year old. She remarried. My stepdaddy adopted me, changed my name. I tell people all the time, I ain't got a family tree. I got a family forest. I'm my mama's only child, and I got 17 stepbrothers and sisters. I know something about growing up rough. I know something about growing up walking in to the aroma of marijuana every night and liquor every night and beer every night. I know something about being 11 years old learning how to smoke dope like a pro. And I ain't glorifying sin. I'm just telling you. I ain't telling you what I heard. I'm telling you what I know. And I, for years, they'd go to the Methodist church. And my daddy was a Sunday school teacher. And he'd come home from church and they'd start smoking dope, getting high. Drinking beer, drinking liquor all the time, partying, and that was just the way they were. And that's what I thought about God. I just thought it was something to do on Sunday. And they brought me in. I think I was 8 or 9 years old. My mama bought me a brand new white suit and a tie for Easter. And they took me up there, and that man dipped his hand in that little jug and put water on my head. And I cried. And it wasn't because I was glad. It's because he got water on my little suit. And from the time I was a little boy all the way up through my teenage years, we was acting like a fool, running wild, acting crazy. You know, don't you? Acting wild. And every time I'd hear anything about God, anytime I'd think about heaven or hell, I'd go back and say, I got baptized in the Methodist church. Ain't nothing wrong with me. Wicked as the devil. I got to working at the Ford place in Greenwood. I'd done started college 3 times and quit because that's what people like me did. We don't finish anything. I started working at the Ford place as a mechanic working on cars. And there was a guy at the end of the shop, Jim Alewine. And everybody told me, said, be careful around him. He's weird. Let me tell you about this guy. He would keep his stall clean where he worked at. He'd put his tools up at night and he knew where everything was. They'd give him the sorriest work in the whole place and he'd never complain about it. He made less money than anybody. He did things that nobody else wanted to do and never complained, not one word. Never complained. That bothered me. He come by me and he told me one day, he said, and he's so nice. He bothered me really. I mean, really bothered me. He's too nice. He'd shake your hand, smile at you. Where I come from, hey, your hands to yourself. He come by and shake. He said, how you doing? He said, I'm praying for you. What's he praying for me for? Don't he know I got baptized at the Methodist church when I was a kid? What's he praying for me for? I'm an American. I ain't hurt nobody. Live my own life. What's he talking about? He's praying for me. That joker got to praying for me and preacher for 6 months. I know you know what I'm talking about. Old fashioned Holy Ghost. Scared to close my eyes. Afraid I'd wake up in hell conviction. I'd lay down at night and all I could hear him say is, I'm praying for you. I'd try to drink it off, couldn't drink it off, but every time I'd lay down and go to bed, I was scared to go to sleep. I was scared I'd wake up in hell. About 6 months I lived like that. Thought I'd die. I went up to him one night and I said, Brother Jim, I said, you going to church, ain't you? He said, oh yeah, I'm going. I said, you think I need to go to church? He said, well, yes, I do. He said, but church ain't exactly what you need, but I'd love to take you to church. And so we loaded up in the car on a Thursday afternoon. Now, you got to understand, I was a ringleader, and so I didn't want nobody seeing me get in the car with him. And so I snuck out in the back on Thursday night. I thought it was weird to have church on Thursday night. And we drove 1 hour and 15 minutes. I said, there's a church. 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 He said, no, we ain't going to them. We're going to one where you just hold on. You just hold on. We went 1 hour and 15 minutes away to North Augusta, South Carolina. Now, I was Methodist. And I ain't never in my life seen nothing like I was about to walk into. We drove up that hill. I put my Winstons. I smoked Winston Reds. I put my Winstons down and had a cooler of beer. We drove in my truck. Had a cooler of beer because you get paid on Thursdays at Ballantyne. Had a cooler of beer in the back. It was just habit. I'd go to the bank, get a cooler of beer, put it in there for when I got off work. It's just out of habit. We pulled up in that parking lot. And I walked in there and I had on an old greasy Ford uniform. I walked in the back. It was a nice church too. Just like they were real pretty. Stuff was nice and clean. They walked in. They started shaking my hand. How you doing? They knew. They saw it all over me. They knew. They shook my hand. How you doing? Good to see you. Come on in. Glad to have you. But I will tell you something. They genuinely meant it. They greeted me. They was glad I was there. I didn't feel awkward. I didn't feel funny. I didn't feel strange. I felt welcome. And I came in that church and I sat down. That man of God took that Bible. Well, first of all, the choir started singing and people started throwing their hands up. I thought they was under arrest or something. That's the only thing we ever did that for back home. And they throw their hands up. And they get to singing, can't you see the bright lights, see the lights. And she'd get to shouting Peggy Buckley and wiping tears away while they'd sing that song. I ain't never in my life seen nothing like that before. That preacher grabbed that Bible. There was a banister across the front. There's about 800 people in there on Thursday nights. He'd grab that Bible. He'd start on the organ bench and stand on that organ bench. Hold that King James Bible up. Sweat rolling off the top of his head. He'd walk the top of that banister and never look down in the power of God. Scared me to absolute death. Ain't never seen nothing like it. And I made it through that service. After I made it through that service, we drove back home and I was scared to death, but you want to know something? I was a wicked, wicked, ungodly sinner, but I liked it. So that's why that stuff don't wash with me. We have to have a seeker-friendly service and we don't want to confront anybody about that. No. I was lost as anybody ever was, fell into a Holy Ghost church, and I liked it. Everybody thinks it's amazing that Jesus would eat with the sinners. I think it's amazing that the sinners would eat with Jesus. Something about the holiness of God is attracted to a sinner that's under conviction. Amen. It's exactly right. Hey, it still works. Holy Ghost Church still works. Drove back home. I didn't say nothing for a week. Thursday after lunch, I said, "Hey, Jim, you going back down there?" He said, "I sure am." He said, "And I've been praying that you'd go back with me." You got to understand, I did things to this man to try to humiliate him at work. I was his worst enemy at work. He should have cussed me out. He should have whooped my tail is what he should have done. I'd show him pictures, Brother Ken, to see what he'd say. I'd tell jokes just to see how he'd react. I did everything I could. I just wanted to see. I wanted to see the look in his eyes when I said it to him. And he'd just put his head down and walk. He never would get mad. He never would join in that stuff with me. Jumped back in the truck with him next Thursday night. We drove down through there. Well, I made it four services. I made it four services. And something was going on in my soul. I couldn't explain it. I didn't know what was going on. We used to work on race cars all the time. And come down to asphalt car. And we'd come down below Atlanta to Lanier and race every Saturday night. And that's just the way I live. That's what we did. Well, we was working on a race car on that Wednesday night before that Thursday night. And we was over there and I got in a fight with one of my best friends. And I turned around and left a fist fight. We just scrapped it out there in the yard. I got halfway home, and I don't know how to explain this. I wasn't saved yet, but the Holy Ghost was on me so heavy under conviction, I turned my truck around, drove it back up into Danny's driveway, walked in the kitchen. There's about 15 of them sitting around trying to figure out what my problem was. I walked in, preacher, and I said, "Y'all, I'm sorry." I said, "Kenny, I'm sorry. I don't know what's wrong with me. God's dealing with me. I got to figure out how to get right with God, and I'm sorry I ruined your night." Jumped in my truck, went back to the house. I didn't understand none of it. I told you I was Methodist. I didn't know nothing about the Bible. We jumped in that truck. I'm sorry. He'll fix all that when I leave. We drove back there on it Thursday night. It was Halloween night, October 31st. I sat about midway back. He got to preaching in the power of God. Up out of that seat, I can't even tell you that I thought it through and said, "Yes, I must repent and trust Jesus Christ and come to Him to be my Savior." I didn't understand it all. All I know is I couldn't stay right there no more. I had to get up here because up here seemed like where everything was happening at. They gave the invitation. My feet started moving. I just started following my feet. Honest to God, that's exactly how it happened. My heart was, I can't even say it's pounding out of my chest. It felt like it was on the outside shooting blood at me. I mean, it was just thumping. My feet started moving. I started following my feet. I bowed down. There's a little old speaker right there. And I'm thankful now, and I didn't understand it then. But I bowed down, and I didn't say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, please come into my heart and forgive my sins. Lord, forgive me that time of day." I knelt down, and here's what I said. I didn't even get Jesus out of my mouth. I was there. That's how it happened. I started to say Jesus. I didn't even get His name out of my mouth and the Holy Ghost come into my heart. I said, "Jesus, boom, save me." And I ain't trying to be creepy and I ain't trying to be weird and I ain't trying to be, it might not have happened like that for you, but He said, "I did." clear as a bell. I jumped up off that altar. I went back. You know what happened? We got in the car and I laughed and cried all the way home. And I didn't know what was wrong with me. I was just laughing and crying. Just laughing and crying, laughing and crying. Woo, God's good. I didn't know God 5 minutes. Come on. God's good. That was a good time at church. I had a great time tonight. Thank you, Jesus. We got out of the car. I knew something happened to me, preacher. We got out of the car and I said, Jim, thank you. Men don't hug men. I don't know if you know that or not. And I hugged him. And it was right. What God did. God looked down there in my little old mess from back here in eternity. He said, that girl is going to have a little boy. And if I don't get her out of this somehow, his life will never be reached. And I've got a plan for him. And so, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to take this bad thing that happened in Kathy's life where she about got killed by her mama and couldn't figure out why nobody cared about her. And I'm going to move her, and she don't even know it's me that's moving her. And she's going to marry this fella and they ain't going to get along because they don't know me and they're not going to get along and they ain't going to make it. But I already know that. I've got a plan. I got a plan. They just don't know any better. He had me and then moved me down to Greenwood and raised me up where I was raised up. And he knew. Do you know what else he did? He went before me. I got my son says I got a Nike mark in my head. We had a car wreck when I was 19. Should have went to hell. But you know what God was doing? God was knocking things out of my way. He's saying, come on. Come on this way. Come on. Moving stuff out of my way. Running stuff out of my life. Devil tried to kill me. He said, you can get close, but you can't kill him right now. Get out of the way. And smacked the devil out of my way. And brought me all the way up to that Halloween night when I bowed at his feet and trusted his name. God's on my side tonight, church. And I know he is because of the plan that he's got for my life. What a plan. All that stuff that's happened. What shall we say to these things? I got four more points. You have me back next year, I'll preach number two. What shall we say to these things? If God be for me, who can be against me? The devil's telling you God done forgot about you. God's done forgot about you. If God was on your side, that surely wouldn't happen. Because God is good, and how can God be a part of that? I got news for you. God didn't cause it, but I promise you God was right there in the middle of it, keeping you right where He wanted you in the middle of it, because someday He's going to move you down the road and move that thing that Satan meant for bad, and He's going to use it for good because He's on your side. God's still for you. You got a warfare going on in your soul because you want to serve God and you fighting with things that you can't even talk about. God's for you. People done you in ways you can't even talk about and been treated in ways that people wouldn't even believe you if you told them. God's still for you. And if God be for you, who can be against you? Amen. Preacher.